This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, this is going to be a fun show today. We got a little bit of everything. Start of hoop season. We got the playoffs going on in terms of the rankings. So we're going to break everything down. Big week of college football, we hope, knock on wood. Great guest. You can join us, by the way, at 844-SAY-ACCN. We are streaming live on the ESPN app. You've always got us on SiriusXM Channel 371. I'm Mark Packer. My partner is Wes Durham. Wes, good morning. How are you?
5 hours away, Pack. 5 hours away from the start of college basketball season. Good morning. Great to be with you. And we do have a great show. In just a moment, DJ Turner will be here, the wide receiver from Pittsburgh. Look forward to visiting with him. NC State coach Dave Doran will join us at 8 o'clock. And Ralph Sampson, the legendary Virginia Cavalier, will be here at 8:30. And we finish strong now. Seth Greenberg, 9 a.m. on this very program today as we get ready to start the college basketball season. So that's a pretty full day, isn't it? That's a pretty full show for Wednesday. And we're not here tomorrow and Friday, so I think we needed to deliver a heavy inventory show to send folks to the Thanksgiving holiday.
Is Greenberg finally going to deliver on the bet that is approaching 2 years that he hasn't paid off on yet? Are we going to address that given this weekend? It's all about food and family and celebrating all the things that we're thankful for. No? You think he stiffs us again? Heisman pose from Greenberg? No. Yeah. Probably.
I don't think that happens until we get a few other things ironed out. Now, he tried to at the 2019-20 ACC basketball operation event in Charlotte when he brought some breakfast steak out from the Westin Hotel there. But that was not good.
I wouldn't have fed that steak to your cat. That's how weak that effort was from Greenberg. But we'll see what happens at 9 a.m. this morning when Greenberg joins us, because it is hoop season.
Right.
But it's also the very first unveiling of the college football playoff rankings last night. And, from an ACC perspective, Wes, not bad. I mean, two of the top three teams in the country, according to the experts, are in this league. The league put four teams in the top 25, actually four in the top 20, if you want to get exact, which I thought was pretty good. I thought North Carolina had a chance to crack it. I did not expect the Heels in the teens, but that's where you find them at 19 as they get ready for number two, Notre Dame, this weekend. You've got Clemson at the three spot. You got Miami sitting there in the top 10. So I think from an ACC perspective, you know what? That's not bad to start things off. Again, it's just a starting point. It's not the finish line. We hope we can get to a finish line.
No, you're right about that, for sure, especially the way college football's kind of been losing some steam in terms of its conversion rate on games the last couple of weeks. I'm not surprised by any spot. I wouldn't have been surprised had Miami been 9. Thought Georgia was a little high given the two losses they'd taken.
Think?
Thought BYU was a little low. I like the Cougars a little bit. I understand strength of schedule is not great, but I still think they're a pretty impressive team. But the ACC setup pack, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, Miami 10, I think that was about right. And I'm interested to see kind of how this will play out for those three schools in particular. And what impact number 19 North Carolina will have in the polls, my goodness, if they win. My goodness, if they upset Notre Dame Friday in Chapel Hill, Pack.
Well, I mean, if they win, they'll move up. If they win, it puts Notre Dame obviously in a position where they go down. That's how this thing works. But I thought from a conference perspective, last night was about as good as you could have expected. I thought North Carolina would be top 25. Didn't know if they'd be, in the teens, but good for them. They got an incredible opportunity on Friday to do something they've never done before, and that's knock off a top three team. And we said that yesterday, 0-27 in that department. Amazingly, Mac Brown and his incredible 32 years of coaching has never seen Notre Dame. I mean, it's one of those kind of a strange stats. You just think if you do it at a high-profile school for long enough, like he has it in his incredible career, you just saw Notre Dame at some point in time. But we'll see what happens on that front. Right. I think that game's going to be highly entertaining. I think there could be a lot of points. I could be dead wrong again, like I was with the Liberty NC State game. I think both teams can score on the other guy. And I think if you're Miami and Manny Diaz, you sat there and said, hey, you know what? We got rewarded. We are now a top 10 team. And again, I think their ability to go on the road and find ways to win close games at Virginia Tech and at NC State in November, it gave them the confidence to say, hey, guess what? We can go close. And I kidded around with you a couple weeks ago. You could have a scenario that Miami wins out, has one loss on the season, is on the fringe of the top five, and doesn't even qualify for an ACC football championship. That is what ACC football in 2020 is all about. And, you know, Notre Dame's having a magical year so far. Clemson's the Tigers. They're doing their thing. This is why I kept emphasizing in the middle of the summer, it was imperative for the ACC to have a 2020 football season because it was an uptick year in terms of talent. And I think the upside is the upper half of the conference is pretty good this year. And they're talented and they can compete with anybody.
Mark, I also thought, too, that it's kind of out there in front of Miami, to your point. I think Miami stays their core. Miami is now one of the few schools in this poll that can lock in on themselves and just go play,
right?
You know, because they're at 10. They're kind of there in that mix. They've got the firepower on offense, clearly, with De'Eriq King at the wheel. They now can kind of go get it. And you know what? They don't have to worry about it because if they win, they're going to stay, you know, moving up. I mean, that's the beauty of the poll. And everybody says, well, it's just the first one. And you're right, it is the first one. But the important piece about the first one is this. You understand where the starting point is and the peril in front. Very few teams now have the luxury that Miami has where you can just go play. Just go play whoever's on your schedule and whenever you all decide to go, just go play the game. And when you do that, it allows you to kind of then be rewarded for winning. Because guess what? There are going to be games in front of you that are going to be consequential. And that's going to happen as we move a little bit further down the road here in the next couple of weeks of the regular season and certainly to that championship game. And that's a good thing for Miami if they keep winning, right? And very few teams in this poll right now have that luxury.
There's a couple trends here of note. Number one, since the start of the 2018 season, there's only four teams in college football that have lost three games or fewer. There's only four. Those four teams mm-hmm. are the four teams that you see at 1, 2, 3, and 4 of last night's poll. Bama, Notre Dame, right. Clemson, Ohio State. So the consistency level of those respective programs, not only for this season, and it was rewarded last night with the committee, but it's happened now for the last 3 years in terms of, hey, those four teams, put them in whatever order you want. Bama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State have been consistently good. And again, they got rewarded last night for what they've done in their body of work for 2020. There's also a couple other trends. And again, you take it for whatever it's worth. The initial poll, which comes out, if you find yourself in the number two spot, which happens to be Notre Dame, mm-hmm. the last 4 years, the team that started number two in the poll has gone on to win the national championship. So if you're a Notre Dame fan, you're sitting there going, oh, please, touchdown Jesus, listen to me. Let's go make it 5 for 5. Here you go. Check this out. 16, 17, 18, 19. Poll comes out. You're ranked number two. Man, we're the best team. Hey, you got a chance to prove it. Well, guess what? 16, 17, 18, 19, that crew won it all. That is a great trend if you're Notre Dame. There's another trend. If you're number three in the initial poll, it's not a good thing. Clemson, you're number three. Check this out. You start out at number three. Hey, did you make it to the playoffs? No. As Angel Cabrera would say, no, 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 don't know. There it is. So that is a unlucky trend if you believe in such things when it comes to the initial college football poll. And by the way, congratulations to LSU. They did something last night that's never been done before. They became the first reigning national champion in the initial poll the following year to be a complete no-show. So congratulations, LSU. You're the first. You got the belt. You earned it. And right now, we can't find you. Congratulations. But I'm with you with Georgia. To me, Georgia was the biggest stunner of the night. I guess the committee had to do the eyeball test. I don't know if they were more impressed with them getting waxed by Bama by 17 or waxed by Florida by 16, or maybe that late drive for a touchdown to beat 2-5 Mississippi State last week put them in the top 10. Maybe it's recruiting rankings. I have no earthly idea how Georgia's in the top 10. But it is what it is. And I think there's probably 7 or 8 teams that really have a legitimate chance to win the national championship. And that's kind of where we are right now in college football. I just hope we have a finish. That's what I hope for. Let's just get to the finish line.
I agree with that. After doing Georgia Tech for 18 years, there's plenty of ammo I could throw out here right now, but I'll just bypass it.
I'll take the high road
on Thanksgiving.
Well, you can take the high road. I'm going to be honest. They have no business being in the top 10. I mean,
I've heard the greatest defense known to man.
They've given up 85 points in the only 2 games that matter.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it's got to be the eye test because the metrics stink. They have top 10 talent. They shouldn't be in the top 10. Sorry. That's what it is.
And, you know, I thought we were grading on what you've done, not what you think you're going to
do. Right. I thought that was a complete whiff by the committee. But other than that, I thought for the most part, you know, you mentioned BYU. They probably have a gripe. But they haven't played anybody. I think they're good, though. I mean, but there's no way Georgia's not.
Can I ask you?
Almost laughable.
Before we pivot to some basketball here, Cincinnati at 7. I think that's about right, don't you?
I didn't have a problem with it. I didn't have a problem with Northwestern in the top 10. I didn't have a problem with anybody in the top 10 except one team. It has no business being in the top. Top 15, no problem. You want to put them there? Great. Bury them there. That's fine. But, hey, they had 2 chances and got absolutely woodshedded. So, sorry.
That's right.
Not buying it.
All right. Let me give you some championship details, Pac. We had the we didn't have the 10:05 yesterday. Whew. We had the new and improved 11:05 yesterday.
Yeah, a lot.
The ACC announced yesterday just after 11 o'clock, an hour after your boys went off the air, that the championship game is going to kick off at 4 o'clock on December 19th at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. The championship game of the ACC will be televised on ABC. Capacity for the event now is going to follow the guidelines of health and safety established by the state of North Carolina, which currently allows for 7% capacity of outdoor venues greater than 10,000. So roughly about
Westmath, watch out. I hope you started working on this last night.
You know what they should do?
Here's what the ACC should do.
What?
Hey, we're going to play in Greensboro. Pac and Wes are going to be over there in the corner. Pac's going to be the guy with the remote control for the shoe, the flying shoe, right? That's one. Number two.
No, we're talking about football here first.
Oh, I thought you were talking about hoops. I thought you were going to go ACC tournament.
No, I'm talking about football.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway, I'm talking about football.
We'll have 10,000. We'll get them in there. We'll be good to go. But I'm going to tell you something about one more thing about football real quick. Based on what the committee told you last night, and you should never go chalk in college football, but I'm just going to give you chalk. What the committee did do last night is they set up the potential of unbelievable conference championship games. All right, just think about this. ACC potentially could have number 2 against number 3, Notre Dame-Clemson rematch part 2. Mm-hmm. The SEC could give you 1 against 6, because that would be Florida and Alabama. Yep. Be a great game. Great game, right? The Big 12, and who knows what that thing's going to turn into, but you could have an Iowa State-Oklahoma thing going on there, right? And again, I know Iowa State's got a big game with Texas this week and so forth. The Big 10 could give you a 3-8 combination of, or 4-8 combination of Ohio State and Northwestern, a pair of undefeated teams. So it is shaping up as a, if you could get to December 19th, man alive. Everybody's talking about, hey, we want to go to an 18 playoff. You really kind of get that, the way this thing works. So, again, it's college football. Who knows if we can get to December 19th? But, again, I thought the committee, for the most part, last night, the West, kind of set this thing up. And if you're a Pac-12 fan, good night. You got no shot. I mean, Oregon at 15. And I know Ohio State started at 1,600 years ago. But Oregon's got no chance at 15. at the starting point. They were in the top 10.
There you go.
Chance. 15, not happening. Not this year.
There you go. So, as I said a moment ago, the ACC Football Championship, 4 o'clock on December 19th, Bank of America Stadium, 7% of the capacity will be the attendance allowed by the state of North Carolina. The basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Again, another 11:05 thrown out there. The basketball tournament relocated from Washington this coming March back to Greensboro, in part and parcel because of the pandemic. So the Greensboro Coliseum is set to host the event for the 28th time. The ACC had previously announced the 22 event for Barclays Center in Brooklyn, and in 23 back to Greensboro. What this means about the next stop for Washington, we'll wait and see what further details develop. But because of the pandemic, the championship will not be at Capital One Arena in D.C. It is coming back to Greensboro at the Coliseum.
So,
be honest, from a logistics and a business standpoint, the ACC is going to be dealing with a moving target. College basketball is going to be dealing with a moving target now. Starts today, goes all the way through March. How that target moves, you have to, if you're the ACC, in my opinion, you have to give yourself the best chance for functionality. Any movement in those dates affects the building's calendar. Yep. Washington, that building, Capital One Arena, is the home to the Wizards and the Capitals. That complicates things if you were to have to move the dates. The Greensboro Coliseum is the home to the ACC basketball tournament.
Right.
So, therefore, when you start looking at the ability to move the event, you had to find a place that could handle that. Greensboro can, and that's why the decision, in my belief, was made to relocate the event for March.
And that makes a ton of sense. I mean, I think that's almost a no-brainer from that perspective. But I was thinking about, yep, when you were talking about attendance, I was thinking about the Greensboro Coliseum and how surreal it was when we walked out the last time we were there, getting ready for Florida, yeah, State and Clemson, the ACC tournament game, and you walked out and the tarp's over the upper deck. There's a couple hundred people there. Both Pep bands are doing a layup drill. And how surreal it felt then. And now you find out, all right, we start the college hoop season today. And, you know, if we can get to March, and I do think we will. I think we'll get a finish line, and it's imperative. But it is going to be amazing to kind of walk through that building again when we get there. And who knows what world we live in, right? Who knows if a vaccine makes life better? You know, who knows if we're still watching COVID spikes and, you know, everybody's wearing masks and, you know, huddled up and you can't leave your home. I mean, who knows what the world's going to be like? But it is going to be fascinating, yeah, to see what it gets to. And if it turns out, Wes, that we only have a you know, smattering of fans, can you imagine how you determine who goes? Is it parents only? I mean, how do you do that for an event like the ACC basketball,
yeah,
team? I can't. I mean, I don't wish anything on these athletic directors and presidents in this league and around the country. My goodness, they are going to earn every dollar for this upcoming stretch of the end of this year and all of 21 from a financial standpoint and all the things they're trying to juggle here. It's going to be incredibly difficult.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
DJ Turner, the wide receiver from Pitt. Let's bring DJ on here. DJ, first of all, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. And, man, you're still wide open, man. If I had a ball, I'd throw it to you.
Good morning, man. It's definitely a blessing to be here on this show. Thanks for having me.
Let's go backwards before we go forwards. All right, you get the nod. You're going to play. Here come the Hokies. You know, you did the Big Ten thing. Now you're doing the Pitt thing. 15 catches, are you kidding me? In your life, have you ever caught 15 balls in a game before? I don't care if it's the neighborhood, junior peewee football, whatever. 15.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a first. I can't look back to any time in my football career where I caught 15 balls. It was definitely a surprise to me. But like I said, I'd take more if that's the case. That's fine with me.
I love it.
I like it. Just the world famous, just give me the ball. Hey, DJ, when the ball game starts, we find out that Jordan Addison's not going to play. Did you have an inkling, hey, wait a second, this might be my chance? I mean, did you think, okay, maybe I'll get one or two more? You certainly didn't think you'd get 15, right?
Yeah, definitely didn't think I would get 15, but I knew I would get more opportunities to play. And I wasn't sure exactly what that meant, but I knew that, I mean, I had to step up, and I feel like we all did.
DJ, when you're having a game like this, and Kenny Pickett's obviously glad to be back. I know you guys are glad to have him back, and he's out there tossing it, making plays. But you know you're having a great game, right? I mean, do you go in the huddle sometimes and say, hey, Kenny, dude, these guys can't cover me, man. You can throw it to me every single down. What transpires during a game when you know you're in the zone, Kenny's hooked up with you, and it's just happening? What takes place in the huddle?
I think it's kind of an understanding between – I think there was kind of an understanding between the both of us. I didn't really have to say much to him. It was just go out and execute, do my job, and, I mean, that's pretty much all I had to do. And Kenny put the ball where it was supposed to be, and I just did what I could with every opportunity I got.
You know, it's interesting. The other time you had a 100-yard ball game was against NC State, and I was there doing the ball game with Roddy Jones, and I keep thinking to myself, okay, wait a second. Here's DJ Turner. They're thinking about Taysir Mack. They're thinking about Jordan Addison. And here's this guy who, unless you kind of know the story, you don't realize what kind of player you're dealing with. And that's kind of been the way this fall has gone for you. Can you talk to Mark and I about what kind of weird times this has been for you personally to find a way to continue your football path during a pandemic? Because it seemed like that, you know, everything was going to go along. You were going to play this fall at the University of Maryland, right?
Right. I mean, it's definitely been a difficult time, but you kind of got to stay flexible and be able to move on the run. And then I think I've been doing a good job of that, and getting here was definitely a blessing. Blessing in disguise. Like you said, I didn't know that I would be here at the beginning of this season. It just kind of happened. And I feel like being here is definitely kind of meant for me from everything that's been happening too. So I want to give a big thanks to everybody here who kind of welcomed me here and coach for giving me this opportunity.
DJ, take me through the timeline of the summer if you can, because I don't think fans realize, and Mark and I've talked about this a lot here in the last, I don't know, 3 weeks to a month, about just how intense it's been for student athletes to get ready to play football, to play any sport that's been staged here in the fall, and certainly basketball guys getting ready to attack it today. But you're at the University of Maryland, and it's July 15th. Go from July 15th, what was life like for you?
It was definitely stressful for everybody. I mean, it was so much uncertainty going on in the world of college football. Like, nobody knew kind of what the future had to bring. But at the same time, you kind of got to stay ready just because, I mean, we all expected to play. We just didn't know how it all would play out. And then once the decision was made to kind of cancel the season, it was just like, all right, now what do I do? Because, I mean, I want to play, but at the same time, they still might not be playing in the ACC as well. But so it was kind of like a decision where I just had to make the decision and go with it, put my head down and grind it out and just hope for the best. And, I mean, it ended up working out for me. But like you said, it definitely has been stressful. Like, it's just stressful enough to try to stay healthy out here with everything that's going on, let alone perform every Saturday and do your job every day in practice. So, I mean, it's definitely been hard for all college football players, and I'm sure the college basketball players who are starting today feel the same way.
Yep, you're 100% right about that. So, all right, so we put Virginia Tech rearview mirror, get a nice win, score a bunch of points, 15 catches, and ta-da, welcome to Death Valley. Here comes Clemson. So what do you see on tape this week with this crew?
I mean, they're a very good team, very disciplined team, and they got a lot of talent. But, I feel like we also have a lot of talent, and I feel like we could kind of compete with anybody in the country if we're hitting on all cues and everybody's doing their job. So, I mean, we just get back to work this week. Like, we stop worrying about the VTech game on Sunday and trying to get a win this week down in Death Valley, and I'm excited to get down there with my guys and make some things happen.
DJ, when I look at you guys, and we ran some numbers on the show the other day with Kenny Pickett and without Kenny Pickett, and no, you know, Joey and those guys did a good job, but let's be honest, there's something about Kenny Pickett, right? I mean, what is it about number eight that just gives you guys that next energy level, I guess?
I feel like the biggest thing to me that stands out is just his leadership qualities. He's a great leader. And I've been around some great leaders on some great teams, but not necessarily at the quarterback position. I feel like him being such a good quarterback and such a great leader, it helps us as a team. Like, and I mean, I wouldn't want anybody else back there leading us through these games, and I can't wait to see how he plays Saturday.
All right, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the sweatshirt. I keep bragging that Pitt's got the sweetest unis in the league. Whatever combination you go with, when you go with the traditional colors, you can't go wrong. So you come showing up this morning with this really cool sweatshirt. So of all the swag that you get as a player at Pitt, you tell me, what's the number one piece of article? It might be what you've got on right now, for all I know, but what's the number one piece of article for you that you get as a member of the Pitt football team?
It's definitely this hoodie, 100%. This has been my favorite hoodie since I got it, and I mean, I try to stop myself from wearing it so much. And I mean, I'll go through the facility today, and a lot of people have it on, so it's definitely this hoodie. And all the great stuff we got from that week when we wore those uniforms is pretty cool too. So
this is like DJ, in a perfect world, like Thanksgiving meal, man, you're showing up in that hoodie and just loading up, right? I mean, it's every day you'd go with it. Is what you're telling me.
Yep. Yeah, if I can, I try to keep it as clean as possible so I can wear it as much as I could.
All right. But DJ, the jersey, I mean, your guy's regular look, and I see Pac, here we go. I keep forgetting. He played at Maryland where, I mean, it's like a wardrobe every time they went on the field at Maryland. So now all of a sudden you go to Pittsburgh and they got this classic clean look from a jersey standpoint, DJ. So have you got a favorite in terms of the gear you guys wear on game day? Is it just the blue and the yellow with the yellow helmets? Or you like the – see, I like the classic road stuff, the yellow helmets, the white jerseys, and the yellow pants too.
I think my favorite is what we wore this past weekend, the yellow helmets with the blue on blue. Mm. I don't know, it's something that just stands out about that uniform. It's just different to me. But that's definitely my favorite.
All right, here's our traditional question. And I'm going to do a double dip here because the University of Maryland used to be a member of the Atlantic Coast Conference, and I know you got your degree, so it's going to be a two-part question. Number one, the hardest class you had at the University of Maryland – and the hardest class you've had so far at Pitt?
So the hardest class I took at Maryland was definitely my first time taking a stat class. It was literally at the beginning of the summer, and it was every day at 8 a.m. And that was probably the toughest thing I ever had to do. One of the toughest things I ever had to do. And then right now at Pitt, I feel like the toughest class I'm taking, it's a race and gender class. Well, it's not too tough. It's probably the most interesting class, but it's also kind of challenging at the same time.
Well, very good. Well, first of all congratulations on the degree. Congratulations on all the work that you and everybody have done just to stay healthy to play, because it has been a challenge. And again, I'm not sure if the common fan really understands the commitment level from everybody's standpoint, from administration to medical staff to coaches to players. You guys should be congratulated getting this far. And again, happy Thanksgiving and best of luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. As I mentioned, there will be no show Thursday. There will be no show Friday. Believe it or not, they're going to actually give us 2 days off in a row. Unheard of. Unheard of, I'm telling you. But that's what we're doing. It's also the start of hoop season. And yeah, we mentioned yesterday the dozens upon dozens upon dozens of both men's and women's games that have been postponed or canceled or tweaked. We're just kind of easing into the start of this, whatever this year is going to be like, Wes. So again, you embrace what you know you're going to get. It's like football, like soccer. It's like everything else. You know, you can't worry about what you don't get. Right. You got to love what you do get. And that's what we have. But it starts today.
It does. And we'll outline some of our coverage here on ACC Network coming up. But first, part one of two installments of a Packer and Durham special. Better, worse, or the same? How's your team going to be, at least the way we think of it right now? Really haven't seen anybody play. Don't really know some of the names and numbers, but are we going to be better? Are we going to be worse? Are we going to be the same? You ready?
We know nothing. We don't know anything. We haven't seen the first person make a shot. But let me tell you, we're going to break it down for you. So you'll sit there and go, yeah, I saw those idiots back on November 25th tell me my team was going to finish 13th. And now look at us. Hey, this is a total dice roll is what this is. Total dice roll.
You ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Wake Forest, projected to finish 15th last year, 13-18, 6-14 in the ACC. Isaiah Musius, one of the returnees. Ishmael Massoud. I'm going to say, unfortunately, Coach Forbes, worse.
Worse? Well, sorry. You can't be. How do you do that? Wait a minute. How does that work? They're picked 15th. What are they doing? Are they going to do the Mark Packer special and have a Sweet 16 in accounting? How are they going to be worse?
Same then. Same. If we're going by the predicted order of finish, same.
Holy mackerel. Western, you're talking about breaking news. Forget 10:05. How about 7:35? Breaking news on Packer and Durham. Wake Forest, according to Western, going to finish 16th in the league of 15 teams. Forbes, hey, I know Forbes watches. Coach, I'm looking forward to watching you work, but that was a West Durham special. Wait a minute. Hold on. Do I need to send the top hat to you down there in Cartersville for you to wear? You can't pick them 16th, no, Wes.
All right, same. All right. I go same. Sorry.
Holy mackerel. I knew this segment's got a chance to be a disaster. We're already off to a roaring start. Now, I'm with you. Until proven otherwise, I think Wake is 15. I'm with you. But there's no way they're 16th. I'll guarantee there's no way they're 16th.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yeah, I've been ready. I'm worried about – I can't wait to see where you put Boston College. You got them in the top 20? What are you doing over there in Cartersville?
Boston College is next. BC last year, 13-19 overall, 7-13 in the ACC. Tied for 10th. Predicted order of finish, 14. I think they're going to be better than that, better than 14th.
I agree, but not much. And I know we just had Jim Christian on the show. And again, for every coach and player watching this, we are not taking shots at you. This is just nothing more than a sheer guess. But I think they will be better than 14th, but I don't see them in single-digit finish. How about that?
Right, I agree. So better than the projection. All right, next is Pittsburgh. Panthers have been projected as 13th, 16-17 last year, 6-14 in the ACC. Predicted 13th. Last year finished tied for 14th. I think they're better than that this year.
Agreed. I think that if Pitt can finish in the single-digit finish, that would be a solid season for Jeff Capel's guys. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think they'll be better than 13th.
All right. Notre Dame projected 12th. 20-12 last year, 10-10 in the ACC. They finished tied for 6th. I think they're going to be worse than this, than 12th.
I hate when we agree. I'm with you. But they, you know, I will say Notre Dame, man, they surprised me. When I think Braves teams are going to be down, all of a sudden they start making threes from all over the joint, right? And you're like, man, these guys are these guys are a problem. But I'm with you. My gut instinct tells me that same or worse for them. I'm with you.
Yeah, Cormac Ryan and Prentice Hubb and Juwan Durham. And then the rest of it is kind of an unknown.
Yep.
Doesn't mean they don't have players.
Right.
But at least right now, the rest of it's an unknown.
Yep, with you.
Virginia Tech is next. 500 last season, which was a great statement by Mike Young. 7-13 in the ACC. They're projected to finish 11th. Pack, I think they're going to be better than that because I think he's got more players for what he wants to do now than he did a year ago. Wabisa Beattie returns, Jalen Horn's back. He's got some inside guys that can help, and he's going to be able to run his system. Predicted 11th, I think maybe a spot up for Mike Young in year two.
I have friends that I will keep anonymous here. that tell me that the Hokies are going to be a major surprise this year. And I'm like, I need to see it to believe it. And I trust these folks in their opinion, but they're telling me, hey, you wait and see. Virginia Tech is going to be that team that all of you are going to sleep on, and they're going to be sitting there rocking and rolling, and not necessarily to win the league, but to be a really, really good club. I hope they're right.
Right.
But I need to see it to believe it. So I think the same, I think they're kind of in the neighborhood double digit there. I, you know, and right. I could be 100% wrong, as usual. But my buddy's telling me they're going to be good. So we'll see. I'm keeping an eye on the Hokies.
All right. Projected to finish 10th is Clemson, 16-15 last year, 9-11 in the ACC. I think the Tigers are much better than that. I think Clemson will be better than 10th.
I hate it when we agree. If Clemson does not finish in the single-digit number, I will be very surprised. If they end up 10th or worse, they either had a horrible injury bug or lost every close game imaginable. That's the way I look at it.
Right. Here's another one for you. Projected to finish 9th, 3 above 500 last year, and 11-9 in the ACC is Georgia Tech, who lost James Banks from their starting fold pack, and that's really it.
I think they're going to
finish. Predicted 9th now.
A lot better. A lot better than 9.
A lot better?
Yeah, a lot better than 9.
A lot better than 9th. Last year they were tied for 5th. Winners of the they finished 5th, winners of the Glob as Josh Pastner reminded us.
Yep, Glob champions. I think they're going to be really good. I do. I think this team this one to me is, you know, you talk about gut instincts for whatever it's worth. I think Georgia Tech is much better than 9th.
I agree with that. All right. Last one in this segment. North Carolina State University, as Billy used to say, projected to finish 11th, 20-12 last year, 10-10 in the ACC. DJ Funderburk is back. Devin Daniels is back. Pack, I'm telling you, the Wolfpack, I'm going to say, predicted order of finish, 8th, I'm going to say same.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was waiting for a drum roll, the way you're building up NC State Wolfpack Nation there. I was thinking, oh, what's going to give me a top five these guys are sleeping on? But I think NC State's in the middle of the pack, no pun intended. I think that's exactly where they are. 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever the glob looks like, I think will be a lot of NC State glob talk, be my take.
Yep. There you go. All right, that's our first half look at better, worse, the same. I'm glad we got that mapped out. It's done well so far, don't you think?
Yeah, especially after you put BC 16th, or Wake 16th. That scared me half to death. It's like, oh, my God, we're already off to connect the dots.
Coach Forbes will not be happy with us.
Don't give me the us. That was a West Durham. I'll give you a sweet 16. Yeah, I don't even have the Deke 16th. No way.
There you go.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Dave Doran, head coach of the Wolfpack. Coming up top of the hour, but we've got basketball to address before we get to coach. Wes, we go through the rest of the list.
You ready?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. Better, worse, the same. Here we go. Miami. Projected 7th. 15-16 last year. 7-13 in the ACC. Chris Likes returns. Isaiah Wong is back. Rodney Miller. I mean, we got Cam McGusty. What do you think, Pac?
We just had Coach Larinaga on. He bragged about that backcourt. You got to have good backcourts. But you know what? Not everybody will be better. I think Miami will be worse in the standings.
So do I. Gone.
Now, you and I, just so folks know, we don't compare notes. Folks are like, oh, you guys talk before.
No.
We don't ever compare notes before a segment. So sometimes we hit. Disagree. Right. Sometimes we're on the same page. So far, you and I are kind of feeling the same vibe other than Wake Forest being 16th. Other than that, we've been close.
And one of these, by the way, will absolutely make us look like bumbling fools.
Oh, sure.
You can guarantee we've said somebody will not be better or will be better, and it'll be the opposite. So just get ready.
Right.
Syracuse. Syracuse projected 6th. They were 4 above 500 last year. They were level in the ACC at 10-10. For the Orange, I've said the same. I think 6th is about right, to be honest with you.
Wes, I'm going to say worse, just so I can hear Josh Macri groan in my ear. If Syracuse gives me what I saw the last time we saw him play in Greensboro against North Carolina, that team could win the league. Syracuse could also give me nights where I go, how do these guys beat anybody? You know what Jim Boeheim's going to do with that zone? I'm just going to say, I think they're in the neighborhood, but I think they will finish worse than 6th.
Hey, Pack.
Here comes Macri.
Right.
Oh, Macri's. Of course.
Right.
Macri's going to agree with me now.
Well, you don't. I mean, how long have you known me? 2 years? Since when have I been an optimistic Syracuse fan?
You've been optimistic at times when you know a season's ready to end. You're like, thank God this thing's going to be over with.
Well, yeah, so there you go.
All right. So I think Syracuse will be fine. I just don't know if they'll be 6th or better.
Let me ask this question, Josh, because I want to get the first measure of the Macri meter in hoops, right? Here's the first measure of the Macri meter. Give me a determining – I mean, what would buy you hope for this particular Orange team this year?
What would buy me hope? If the backcourt comes out and I see Buddy and Gerard really looking – like they're ready to light the world on fire. That would give me some serious hope.
Okay.
Let me ask a question.
So it's not front court.
Let me ask a question to Macri, since he is Mr. Syracuse. Higher expectation that Syracuse men's basketball team could be 6th or better, or that the women's basketball club, Q and Tiana in the crowd, win the league?
That's a great question. I'm very optimistic about the women's team this year. But to say they're going to win the league, I'm actually probably more optimistic that the men's team will finish 6th or higher. I think 6th is actually, I would have gone the same there. I just think it's a little bit too lofty to say they'll be better than 6th.
Okay. There it is. I believe that answer. Okay. I sense that was an actual believable response from Macri. That wasn't a pom-pom waving.
The Macri.
Woe is me. We are not going to win a game. I don't even know why we have sports. I thought that was an honest response.
Yep.
All right.
The Macri meter was right in the middle then. That's where we're going to have the Macri meter. We'll go to Thanksgiving right in the middle.
Yep. That's it. That's cool.
All right. Let's go to Louisville. They're next. Projected 5th. The Cards, 24-7 last year. 15-5, they were tied for 2nd. We had Chris Mack on yesterday. I like all the pieces. I think they have a chance. 5th, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know enough at this point, Pack, to validate a 5. How's that?
Yeah,
so I'm going to say worse right now, but today I'm saying worse than 5th.
Yeah, I got to see it. When you lose every starter, we got injuries early. We got a crazy pandemic. I think that's kind of a reach, but I trust Chris Mack to figure it out as the season goes on. But it's sitting here on November 25th. I can't put Louisville in the top 5. Can't do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the Final 4 here in the ACC. Projected 4th is North Carolina. You all know how bad it was last year. Close games, tough shooting. They did one thing well, and that was rebound. 6-14 in the ACC. Garrison Brooks, the preseason player of the year. A lot of familiar names are back. An outstanding recruiting class. Better than 4th. behind Duke, Virginia, and FSU. I'm going to say same right now, Pac.
Yeah, same here.
That's about right for me with what I know about Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not sure they can crack the top three, but I think they'll be very good, and Roy will have his guys ready to go and bounce back from what was a year to forget last season.
All right, Florida State projected third. Noles were 26-5 last year, 16-4 in the ACC. Predicted third, and I'm going to say better. I think they got a chance to finish in the top two.
I'm going to say third is right, just so I can give Leonard something to get a chip on his shoulder and get his guys fired up. Because everybody says, man, you guys never give us any love. I mean, you got a great basketball program. Not a good one, a great one. I think third's about right, and I can't wait to see Scotty Barnes. Mm. He is the guy that I can't wait to watch play the most in the league.
Duke is projected second. Blue Devils 25-6 last year. They finished tied for second in the ACC at 15-5. And this is the one I'm going to swap with Florida State. I think Duke will be very good, but I like Florida State's pieces and what I know. Now, I think Duke's going to get tremendous leadership from Jordan Goldwire. I think Joey Baker and Matthew Hurt are going to have outstanding seasons, but I'm going to switch those guys with Florida State right now. I just know a little bit more about the Noles. I like their depth and the emergence and the proven product that Barnes is for sure.
Same for me with Duke, too.
Okay.
Cut right to the chase.
All right. Last one. Last one is Virginia. This might be the easiest one. Projected first, 23-7 a year ago. The Cavaliers tied for second at 15-5. Jay Huff. Kihei Clark, I mean, Pack, you know, you got all these guys. Oh, by the way, Sam Hauser's there. Predicted order of finish first. I will say same. I just think Cavaliers will be really good.
The team to beat, that's who they are. Now, they got to go prove it like everybody else of the 15 we just rattled through, but Virginia is the team that just say, hey, you know what, targets on their chest, go get them. If you can handle it, good for you, but Virginia's the team to beat.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.